We're going to start off. I was going to start off and just continue in the book of Acts, which we could do quite easily. But I just felt, you know, maybe it's an apt point at the beginning of a year to stop and to consider a few things that we might be able to apply to our lives as we go into it. And I can never get away from this. It's just so real to me. You see, we've been going through Acts and we've been looking at lots of different things. You know, the Holy Spirit moving, the apostles in particular, Peter and Paul, and the impact and the life that they lived that affected others, the way that the church spread across the world. We've been learning about geographical places, Macedonia and Asia, or Asia Minor, and Ephesus and Corinth, and all these different places, and we're learning about these things and the gospel going out. But the fact of the matter is, the only reason we're learning about these things is because Jesus Christ came. He entered this world. He died for our sins. He redeemed mankind to himself, and people's lives were changed. And because of that, they went from that position of understanding who Jesus was to declaring it to the world by becoming a community of people who lived in the kingdom of God, not just in the kingdom of this world or the empires of this world or the society and culture of this world, but they were set apart. They were set apart by the Holy Spirit, and they lived in the kingdom of God. And for each one of us here, unless there's somebody sat here who doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour, and I pray that you wouldn't leave this place today without coming to that knowledge and understanding Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour, then we are part of that same journey. We've been set apart to live a kingdom of God life in this culture and society that we're in today. And it's upside down. It's totally different to how the world perceives things. And the thing about it is that I've experienced it in my life, and I'm sure you have experienced it in your life. We know when we are walking in that Spirit-filled life, when we're abiding in Christ, and when we're accomplishing the things that he's got for our life. And we know when we're not. You know, I can look back on the journey of my life and I can see that. And there's chunks of my life that I have regrets about. But I know even in the midst of those things, or those times when I was not walking with the Lord, is now using them for his glory, praise God. But I just want to remind us of the fact as we go into this year, because we're often prone to wander. You know, as Christians, we're prone to look and to see, to be distracted, to, you know, the world advertises things bright and wonderful, and we can be prone to wander away from that place of abiding in Christ. And I just want to remind us this morning that we need to be found back in that place, in Christ Jesus, because if we're not, we can accomplish nothing. That's what Jesus said. So I'm just going to read these first 8 verses of chapter 15 of John's Gospel, and we'll look at a few things in here, and then we're going to come to the table and just spend some time with our Lord. It says in verse 1, chapter 15, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. That final verse there is kind of the goal. Be my disciples, and that's our commission. We are, if we are disciples, then we are disciple makers. to be a disciple. Jesus is saying, you'll be my disciples if you do these things. So let's look at what these things are and remember the context of this teaching. Remember where Jesus is at this time. Jesus is at that most intimate time with his disciples. He's at the Last Supper. He's just washed his disciples' feet. They've eaten bread and taken the communion cup together. And Jesus is really just teaching them and preparing them for him leaving this world. And he's, you know, if you think about those moments, you know, Jesus giving the most important information that he can to his disciples, that they would reflect and look back upon, as we do now, the importance of these words and how we are to take a hold of Jesus' words, of the things that he was teaching, and to apply them to our lives. It's not just to build up a head knowledge, yeah, abide in me, da, 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 da. No, it's to know what Jesus is teaching here, to abide in Christ. It says that he is the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. You know, just even in starting out there, he is the true vine. It's suggesting that there will be and there are false vines. There are things that will come along that will look like Jesus, that will seem like they are good, but they are not. And it's important that we are found in that true vine, which is and only is Jesus Christ, that we're found in that place. The Father is the vine dresser. He's the gardener. He's the husbandman, the one that looks after the vine and the branches. There's no one else you want looking after you. You know, we often look to things of this world and things outside of Christ to find our comfort, to find our you know, our purpose, or that will guide us through life. But we will never find it in anything else other than in God. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. There's a warning. It's possible to be an unfruitful believer. Jesus is talking to the disciples. Every branch in me, so it's suggesting those that are in him, that does not bear fruit, he'll take away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. The thing that's consistent here is that God deals with the fruitful and the unfruitful. And he's the one that deals with them. You know, I know that there's a lot of people here that are in that pruning process. There's many of us who have been through quite a difficult year. And, you know, maybe this year started in that same fashion. But trust me, God is pruning, and he's doing it because he wants you to be fruitful. That one of the things that I want to say as well is that what we've got to understand is in the kingdom of God and in the things that Jesus teaches us and the way that Jesus lives is, it is in opposition to the way that the world values things. This is not about, fruitfulness should not be confused with success and any kind of worldly success, okay? It's not about being prosperous in terms of wealth or material wealth. Although God may grant those things and there's nothing wrong with those things. But fruitfulness is, and you can go and look at it in Galatians 5, is about being fruitful in the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Against these things there is no law. Fruitfulness in him. So when he says there's a pruning, there'll be things that go on, there'll be circumstances that take place in our lives that will cause us to fall upon Jesus more and more and more. You know, and that's whatever it may be at the outset of this year. There may be lots of resolutions that have been made, lots of things that you want to accomplish, things that may be personal things, they may be for your family, they may be for business or for work or for whatever it might be. There may be lots of plans that you put in place, and it's good that you do that. But don't do it without Christ. Don't do it without him. make sure that the first and foremost in all of those resolutions or those plans that you have in place is that you put Jesus first. Verse 4 says, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither you unless you abide in me." The things that we do plan and do without him are going to be fruitless in the kingdom of God. They may be successful in the world. And that's where we get confused. We can often think that, well, look, this is happening. Look at the addition. Look at what's going on. Look at how blessed I am. Look at how successful I've become. Don't let it be confused with fruitfulness. Because if all those things come without Christ, they're fruitless. But if Christ is the center of your life and those things come, then use them for his glory. Use them to glorify God. Verse 5 says, "I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." And again, here we can see and we can understand, because you can look out into the world and you can see there's people who accomplish many things without Christ. But in the perspective of the kingdom and in the perspective of Jesus, they're nothing. You may gain the whole world, but yet lose your soul. It accomplishes nothing. Again, we as a family this new year time, we're reminded again of the cycle of life. And I get to see as I get older, you know, as these times of, whether it's Christmas time or New Year or whatever it might be, they may start off as you grow as children, you know, really exciting times and fantastic times and brilliant times. And yet, as life goes on, things happen in life and they become a little bit more difficult. Because there are memories. There are loved ones who are no longer there to celebrate with you. There are those who passed away at that time. There are relationships that are broken. And it's in these times that things hurt even more. It's as you get older, you start to realize that this cycle of life is brief. It is but a vapor, as the word teaches us. And it's in that our perspective needs to change, as it's probably on those things in the world and of the world, and we need to start to look up and to see the eternal perspective, and to realize that those things done for Christ are the ones that last. Nothing else matters. Those things that are done in him, through him, and for him are the things that are eternal. Are the things that will stand forever and ever. And that is, in our lives as Christians, it's being disciples and being disciple makers. It's having our whole heart set upon the things that God has for us. If anyone does, verse 6, "If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned." So these are the ones that are not abiding, the ones that don't believe, the ones that don't know Jesus. And that is a warning. Jesus spoke more about hell and the condemnation and the warning to come than anyone else. And sometimes we're fearful of it, but we need to be reminded that there are millions of people who are going to go to hell unless they hear the message of the gospel, the good news message that Jesus has given us as that treasure in our hearts. To go out and declare it to the world, to tell it to our neighbours, to explain it to our friends, to tell them that God loves them, that Jesus died for them. Because if not, they'll be thrown away and cast into the fire. Verse 7 said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it'll be done for you. You know, if our prayers are being hindered or they're not being answered, maybe it's because we're not praying the Lord's will be done. Maybe it's because we've got our own selfish ambitions in our prayers. Maybe it's because we're in that communion with Christ and we're praying, "Your will be done, Lord." We know what God's will is, because if we pray and we're in tune with the Lord, then we will see those prayers answered and we'll see those things come to fruition. And then finally there, verse 8, it says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. If our heart's desire is to please God, to honour God and to glorify God, then the thing that we need to put first in our lives is to make sure that we're in that place of abiding in Christ. That we're not going off on our own tangents, that we're not going off and doing our own, or fulfilling our own plans and purposes, but at first we're seeking Him. I read, it was a while ago that I read it, but I was just reminded of it this morning. I don't know if anyone reads the devotional or has the devotional, My Utmost for His Highest by Oswald Chambers. It's a real good devotional. If you haven't heard of it, then get it. It'll challenge you. It will encourage you. But the 14th of June, which happens to be my birthday actually, but the 14th of June is a message of abiding in Christ. And I just want to read it to you. It says, the Spirit of Jesus is put into me by the atonement. Then I have to construct with patience the way of thinking that is exactly in accordance with my Lord. You have to take time with Oswald Chambers sometimes, okay? So although I'm reading this to you now, you might not actually take it all in now. That's why I'm saying get it. But he says, God will not make me think like Jesus. I have to do it myself. I have to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Abide in me. In intellectual matters. In money matters. In every one of the matters that make human life what it is. It is not a bandbox life. That means a secluded or boxed up life. Am I preventing God from doing things in my circumstances because I say it will hinder my communion with Him? That is an impertinence. It does not matter what my circumstances are. I can be as sure of abiding in Jesus Christ in them as in a prayer meeting. That's really important that we understand that. That wherever you are tomorrow, wherever you are this afternoon, you are in the same place as you could be, as you were in a prayer meeting, as in abiding in Christ. I have not to change and arrange my circumstances myself. With our Lord, the inner abiding was unsullied. He was at home with God wherever His body was placed. He never chose His own circumstances, but was meek towards His Father's dispensation for Him. Think of the amazing leisure of our Lord's life. We keep God at excitement point. There is none of the serenity of the life hid with Christ about us. Think of the things that take you out of abiding in Christ. Yes, Lord, just a minute, I've got to do this. Yes, I will abide when once this is finished. When this week is over, it will all be all right. I will abide then. Get a move on. Begin to abide now. In the initial stages, it is a continual effort until it becomes so much the law of life that you abide in Him unconsciously. Determined to abide in Christ Jesus wherever you are placed. And that's it. I think the importance for us is making sure we're found in that place. And if we know we're not in that place, then make that effort to be in that place until it becomes the natural. Until every decision, every thought is brought into that place. What doesn't matter what the circumstance or situation is, we are found in that place of abiding in Jesus Christ. As I was thinking about this, it made me think about we've been looking at, as we've been going through Acts, we've seen how Paul established the church at Ephesus, and it was an amazing church, a church that was full of good works, full of spreading the gospel, full of just that desire and passion that Paul had. But yet in Revelation, there was a warning written to seven of the churches in Asia Minor. And one of those churches was Ephesus. And you know, I'm sure I've read this to you before, and I'm sure you're aware of it, but I'll just read it to you. It says, to the angel of the church of Ephesus write, "These things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labour, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have laboured for my name's sake and have not become weary." So this church is like an amazing church. They're finding out those who are not of the Lord. They're working hard. They have patience. They're persevering. And yet in verse 4 it says here, "Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from place unless you repent." And there's a real warning to the church at Ephesus there, but we know that that's a warning to the church of today. We know it's a warning to us personally, that if we've become so, for some of us who have been walking with the Lord a long time, we've become people of habit, we're just kind of doing things and going along with things, we've kind of lost that central motivation or focus. Maybe you're one of those that's wandered, that's been away from the Lord for a while, like I was. And the Lord's saying, come back, repent, do your first works, put Jesus Christ first, because this world is fleeting. The things of it are going to be gone soon, and it's only what's done for Christ that will last. At the outset of this year, whatever the circumstance may be, maybe you are in that place. And praise God if you find yourself deeper and deeper and deeper into that, the loving arms of Jesus Christ, that you know the moment you wander from his presence, you know you need to be back there. Maybe that walk of 2018 and the pruning process has got you into a place where you're just so in love with Jesus. And I praise God for that. And I pray that that will deepen even more this year. But whatever or wherever you may be along and in that process, my encouragement to you today is to come to Jesus. Whatever is before you in 2019, some of you may know what that is. Some of you may have plans and already have prepared that, and I pray that you've already given that to the Lord. If you haven't, then come back to it. Come to him first. Start this table. And then ask him, Lord, what have you got? Are you in this? Do you want this for me this year? Lord, I want to be found. Whatever happens, you know, whether it's joy and blessing or trial and difficulty, whatever it may be, may I be found in that place of abiding in Christ, where circumstances do not affect, because I'm found in that place, because I know and have my eyes set upon the Lord. I have that assurance of I am his, and I am his forever. And that he is wanting to bear fruit in our lives. And that, you know, when we come to that point of really studying and understanding that, that fruit is kingdom fruit. Not worldly kingdom fruit, but heavenly kingdom fruit. What we see in more in our lives, is it more love, more joy, more peace, more long-suffering, more kindness, more self-control? Are they the fruits? If not, guess what? The vinesman's going to come and he's going to prune. And he's going to prune until we find ourselves in that place where that fruit, that beautiful fruit, that kingdom fruit will come forth from our lives. And it will be a sweet aroma, a saviour to one another. It will be a light and salt in this world. We will stand on the truth that is God's word. We will stand against those things that press against us in the culture and the world and the and the political correctness and the tolerance and all these things that come against us. You can't say, no, we're standing on the truth of God's word, that he is the only way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way but through Jesus Christ. It's not that everybody's going to go to heaven. They're not. Because Jesus tells us those that do not abide in him are going to be cast into the fire. Jesus tells us those things. So come, plead, persuade, preach to those who don't know Jesus and tell them that he loves them, that he's a plan and a purpose for their lives and for our lives. And those plans and purposes are good. So I want to pray that at the beginning of this year we will grasp and understand the wonder of what it is to abide in Christ. I'm going to ask Frank if he'll come back up and just play for us. Stewards are going to come and serve you. I would just ask that you'd take the bread and the cup and just hold it in your hands. Just hold it and we'll take it together. But in those moments where you're holding it, in those moments where Frank's playing, just in your own heart, you might want to come. You might want to just kneel. You might just want to, just whatever it may be, just give everything back to Jesus. Invite him back in. Repent of those things, those areas where we've wandered, we're far off. Just come back to Jesus Christ. Make him the center of your life. Put him first this year, and then let's go into this year expecting to see the fruitful life that we live in. Glorify God in all that we say, do. Father, we just thank you for our time together. We thank you for your goodness towards us and for each other. We pray you bless us in our fellowship time. We thank you for those who have served and ministered with the children this morning and for those who will serve us after this. We thank you, Lord. And Lord, just help us to always keep our eyes upon you. Would you bless us and go before us as we go into this new week, into this new year. Be glorified, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.